listening. So this morning, I've invited David Hargrave to come and share his life and what God's put on his heart. And we've just had a prayer service where the elders have laid hands on David and invited him and commissioned him and recognized him as an official part of the Beth Tikkun Messianic Fellowship ministry. And so without further ado, David, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you can take it from here. So thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Grant. Shabbat shalom. I am truly a testimony that God can use and will use anybody. I am so unworthy of the goodness and the mercy and the blessing that God has given and has shown to me in my life. I will share a part of my journey, but from the perspective and my hopes, my desire today would be that you would be encouraged in two areas. One, to pray for me as I am attempting to walk out truth and light in the trenches. And the second area that I hope that you are challenged and encouraged is to look at your own life and in your own circles of influence, to not underestimate what God wants to do through you in those circles. And so I just trust that a few minutes in the Word and as I share some of my story, that you would be challenged and encouraged in those areas. I will be reading a few verses from John, St. John, the 20th chapter. And we heard some of that reading in the during the prayer service. And if I had a title that I would use for this time of sharing, it would be, I Also Send You. I Also Send You. I think I should probably read first, because if I start talking, I may neglect it. So St. John, the 20th chapter, and I will be reading from the New American Standard Version, beginning at the 19th verse, and I'll read verses 19 through 22. So St. John 20, 19 through 22. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Yeshua came and stood in their midst and said to them, Ashalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus, Yeshua, said to them again, Ashalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. What a powerful chapter, passage, this 20th of John. And to set the scene, the Messiah had been crucified, suffered, and died, and the disciples had gathered together. He'd risen, and they were gathered together in fear. And our Lord revealed himself to them. To me, that was a time of confusion and uncertainty for them. I think they knew he was Messiah and the Savior and had all of the answers. They were aware of this, but what to do next? How were they to walk out what had been committed to them effectively? And so I imagine this was a time of great confusion and uncertainty for them. Now I'll get to my part of my story, my journey. In my journey from being raised as a pastor's son and in church every time the doors were open for a very conservative Christian brotherhood, attended a private Christian school from the third grade on, memorized lots and lots of scripture and by a New Testament survey, Old Testament survey, just a lot of knowledge, head knowledge about scripture. And been in a lot of different church settings. And would you allow me to say, from my own experience, there are a lot of really weird and strange people out there in the name of Christ. That's just my experience. You run into some well-meaning, but some of the things that I've heard and been told and it's just weird. And I know that if my first introduction to the cause of Messiah and in Christ had been through some of those avenues, I probably would be agnostic or atheist. I don't know if that was my only or first introduction. But there's some weird things and people out there. So 14 years ago, when my friend came to me and said that his wife was starting to attend and here's teachings from this some guy named Grant who and then I started thinking about that name, Grant. Yeah, he sounds but anyway. And as he talked more about it, Grant's a good guy, but this is my initial introduction. And he started explaining more, and he was saying the Torah, and I remember thinking, oh, he is heading into legalism and bondage. But me being a good and understanding person, you don't just lead with people and tell them, hey, you're headed for bondage. You don't, especially friends. So I listened, and then I took the tapes. And I saw there was this Jewish symbol on the tapes, maybe been a star or something, and then Beth Tikkun, and it was just not very modern Christian, and just the outside of the tape. But anyway, as I listened, there were questions, theological questions that I, having been exposed to so much scripture, there are questions that would arise, and I knew God was real and God was good, but there were questions that would arise that I could not answer. Questions like, as you read through the quote, Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, you would see things where it said God gave or made an everlasting covenant with Abraham, or he made an everlasting covenant with someone. And one of the things that I couldn't answer was, if God made this everlasting covenant, and he changed it, these several everlasting covenants, and he changed them, they no longer matter, and he made a brand new thing called Christianity. Here's the thing that was rolling around in the back of my mind. What kind of credibility can a God like that, who makes an everlasting covenant and then changes it for something totally different that's not connected, what's to say that in 2018 he won't say, you know what, that covenant that I made for the Christians, they're not doing so well either. So I am going to void all of them and start a whole brand new. And so that was, and there were things like that theologically that would arise, and I did not know how to answer them. But some of the teachings that I heard, although they were teaching, Grant was teaching from the Torah cycle, it sounded like he was teaching from the New Testament. And there were dots that were connecting. And so it was tape after tape. And then, bless Grant's heart, after I met him, and he agreed to meet with me. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but I have always I try to fit in, look at my surroundings, and blend in and do what's expected. But when I am comfortable, I be who I am, and so I had gotten comfortable, and I decided I wasn't going to hold back with Grant. I was going to ask all the really hard questions and all of those things. And he took time and allowed me question after question. And, you know, if you've talked to people in Scripture and they have a knowledge of Scripture and you give an answer to something, like you might say, the Torah's relevant for today. And someone, they're going to have a lot of verses in their mind, you know, to respond. And I was like that with Grant. Well, okay, yes, but remember it says right here. And he would be patient and he would pull out his Bible. But if that's the interpretation, David, then what about this? And so we had hours and hours of that. And very gently, I reached a place over time where theologically, what I was holding and believing had more holes in it than what Grant was sharing and the truth that was being shared. And but it was overwhelming. It was overwhelming. And I remember going to Grant and I said, what do I do? I can't just, I'm a pastor of a congregation. I've lived my life this way and as sincerely and as fully as I know how. There are lots of people that I know, really good people in the brotherhood and outside of the brotherhood, good Christian people that can't begin to understand. If I were to say, I go to Beth Tikkun and I study Torah, I know too many really, really good godly people that would feel the way I felt when my friend approached me. And I asked him, so what do I do? And he understood and he said, David, walk, don't run. And when you can't walk, just stand in what God has given you and is showing you. Allow him to do it. And that just started an incredible journey of walking with the Lord. Well, so here's where, let's fast forward to today, where I am today. I have some problems. I am a special person. And I mean that in the way of needy special. I'm special. And God calls me his own. But there's some if-then things that I operate from. And so this is the part now where you'll get a little bit of insight in the need, why I need you to pray for me. And also I hope you're challenged to know what God wants to do and will do, probably is doing through you. I start with this premise. I believe this. I can't help it. It's just in there. That every person wants the gospel of Messiah. I believe that. There's nothing you could say or show me anywhere that's otherwise. Everybody wants it. They just don't know that that's what they want. But everybody wants it. I believe that. And I believe the gospel is irresistible. Now, I think I can present it in ways that turn people off. I can live in ways that create a stumbling block. But that has nothing to do with the power and the beauty that is in the gospel of Yeshua. So I start every day living from that premise. Everybody wants it. And I ask the Lord, can you use me today to impact somebody? And I often think like this: if Yeshua were here on earth and he was going to go on a Monday or a Tuesday everywhere that I go and come into contact with everyone that I contact, what would he impart? What would he say? What would he do? How would those people be different? And so I say, use me that way in your stead, in those circles. I think I do a real bumbling job, but he uses me. So I walk with this belief. Everybody wants it. And that has led me to some very interesting places. I was blessed a few years ago to be a part of a mentoring organization for youth, for at-risk youth in the public school system. It's not something, this opportunity is not something I could have created myself. I didn't know the right people, the superintendents, that I just couldn't have done it myself. But through connections and opportunities, the doors were open for me to lead a faith-based mentoring program in our public school systems. I was excited and loved it, and I gave it 110%, and God did some incredible things. Incredible things. I can tell you from my own experience sitting here, if you hear people tell you that the public schools have closed God out and there's no opportunity to serve and be a witness, I'm going to tell you that's not my experience. I'm going to say that if you walk up to a school and you have a certain approach, perhaps the doors will close. But everybody wants love. Everybody needs hope. There is no greater hope. There is no greater source of love than our God and what is revealed through Messiah Yeshua. There is no greater. So those places where you say there's no opportunity, look at the approach. So anyway, the Lord opened those doors for me. And school building after school building. And the way it happens, there would be a crisis situation that would pop up with a student. I remember in one setting, I was at an elementary school, and I'm still tentative, not even sure what's going to happen, how it's going to work out. I'm sorry, a middle school. Not sure what would happen, and I was there, and a dear friend who had real good reputation in the school system, he still works there now. He talked about me and my skills as a social worker as if I were the second coming. And there's nothing I could say to him to help him realize, no, there's nothing I can do as a social worker or counselor or pastor that is powerful all by itself. All of the good things you can point to, they come from God. But he, in his mind, no, just call David. So I'm at the school, the middle school. And I'm still feeling my way around and not wanting to come across, you know, and trying to understand the need and how I can plug in. And there was a student who was dissociating. And the principal, assistant principal, was working with him. They'd worked with him for years. He was kind of balled up and they couldn't get him to respond. And my friend, the psychologist, school psychologist, was out of the building. The other counselors were unavailable, and so my friend told the principal, just call David. David's still in the building. Call David. And so they call me, and I'm thinking all the time, like, oh, really? I don't know this kid. I don't know this school system well, but they call me there, and this kid is, and I see what's happening, and I realize, okay, it's going to take a miracle if anything is successful. But, you know, then a part of me was excited, too. Everybody wants the gospel. They just don't know it. And just maybe, even if this goes totally wrong, just maybe through the process, somebody will be drawn to truth. Maybe so. Yes, Lord, use me. And I go there and I ask the principal, what would you like to see happen? If I can intervene, what? And this young man will respond, what do you want to see happen? And he told me, well, I'd like to see him go to the behavioral classroom. So I went in, and it was just the goodness of God. I did things, I was trained and all of that, but there are no guarantees. And this young man, he, within a few minutes, came out of that and was responsive. So now, not just my friend, there was this assistant principal who's like, how did David do that? It was just God. He orchestrated several events like that over time to where, and none of them knew that I was a believer. None of them knew that I was a minister. I'm just a social worker guy that's going to help with some mentoring. And God just kept orchestrating those events. Let me say, in your life, the things that seem to be disruptions at time and not to make sense and are not going with the flow and don't align with your careful plans, much like this 20th chapter of John, oh, there's a much better way to launch or send the apostles out. I can think of some really good ways. Have a nice assembly like this. Everybody loves you. Maybe you just fed the 5,000 and healed a whole lot of people and everybody's excited and singing how great is our God. That's the way to launch the disciples. Peter and those, they would have felt good. Like, oh yeah, we're ready now. But this kind of setting, the uncertainty. The doors were locked. What do we do next? Do we show up at the synagogue? And when we do, what's that? There was so much. Did we even handle his crucifixion right? There was so much uncertainty. If there is some uncertainty in your life about some next steps and how to address some of the challenges that God has allowed, you're right at the launching point to do some good work for the kingdom. It's an incredible adventure. And so anyway, through that opportunity, I found, and as you're more and more in those places, then people start asking more questions. Now, who are you? What organization are you with? What are you a part of? And they found out that we were distinctively faith-based. But by that time, there have been so many successes that the opposition, if it was present, was not real verbal. And I had no idea how that journey would end. But it ended abruptly for me October of last year. My journey with that program ended abruptly. Did not anticipate it. Did not understand it. And I won't even begin to try and unpack that. But I can tell you, in the course of that, there's another social service organization that is not Christian, not faith-based. They called me and said, hey, we'd like to talk to you. Some of the things that we saw happening with the mentoring organization, can you have that kind of impact there? They're in counties all over Ohio, and they're looking to move outside of the state of Ohio, but they're really, really, this is a really large organization. And so the CEO and several others wanted to meet with me. And they asked about some of the things that had happened. And I was excited in this meeting because everybody wants the gospel. They just don't know it. And is this another opportunity? And so during this meeting, and they were asking me, hey, can you do this? Can you? This is the right now real relevant opportunity. I have no idea how it's all going to end. But I am excited because it's God's work. And he'll just use me for the parts that matter. But I told them, I said, yes, I could do that again in any community, that kind of impact. And they're looking. I said, but here's what I need. This is what I need. You must allow me and empower me to engage and build relationships with the faith community, with believers. And I said, and if you allow me to make partnerships with churches and Christians and believe, if you allow me to do that on behalf of this agency, in every community where you are, oh, we can have tremendous impact. But you can't regulate it the same way you do your mental health side. This has to be different. And they offered me a job. And that's what I'm in the middle of right now. And so my job, a big part of it, is talking to churches in the community. Because you know what a huge need is? You know what the opiate crisis, what that is. Ohio has significant, I think we're currently ranked fourth as far as a state in the United States where sex trafficking is prevalent. I think we're fourth. There are a lot of significant issues. And so what the educators and community leaders all understand is this next generation of youth, we need answers. We need a way to connect. And so my message is simple. There are a lot of people who understand hope, life, love, shalom comes from Messiah. And if they just get out of their houses of worship and will take a little time to share life authentically with a young person, the dynamic things that happen in that school district will happen everywhere. I am finding that every church that I go to and have gone to and share things like this, there's an excitement and an enthusiasm and sometimes a willingness to give, very frequently a willingness to provide financial support. But there are far fewer people that are willing to say, I don't know where it'll all go, but I'm willing to connect with the young person, or I'm willing to serve in that way. But that's the solution. So I'm in the middle of that project, and God is doing and has already done in this new place of employment. He's already done some things that I could not do with my best strategies and efforts and skill. I could not have accomplished them. But when God has a point to prove to the world, He through you will cause some incredible things to happen where others look at it and say, "Why'd you do that?" It's for His glory. So that's one project. Then the other, the last one, and I'll go back to the text. I was leading a congregational leader for a small congregation for the last, I don't know, I always get my years wrong, 5-8 years maybe, something like that. And we met on Shabbat in Wayne County, and we taught the Torah cycle, and I was doing that for a while. But my heart is not to create another church. It's not my heart. Messiah's last prayer in the garden was that we would all be one. How can I be a better example? How can you be a better example of that oneness? Well, it's in the Torah. It's in the truth. It's through faith in Messiah. And so in that process, though, we had met there for years, and there's a part of me that was dissatisfied with community impact. Wonderful things, God blessed it. But I had a dear friend, who is the pastor of a Mennonite church, and he called me and said, "Oh, would you come you regularly be a part of preaching and helping to develop leaderships in this congregation?" This congregation is maybe 60% Hispanic. I saw, like, this is one of those God places, one of those God things. If you read through this 20th chapter, a part of it that gives me, that brings tears to my eyes every time I read it, was when the disciples had gone fishing. And Peter said, "I'm going fishing." They were uncertain. They were confused. What do I do next? What happens now? I know Yeshua is Messiah, and I know this is truth, but how do I practically walk it out now? And so they went fishing. And I love the part of the text. They fished all night. Didn't catch anything. And Yeshua was standing at the shore, and he said, "Hey, brothers, caught anything?" "No, we haven't." And he told them, "Well, just throw your net on the other side." And they did. But what makes me weep is when Peter saw what happened with the fish, he said, "It's the Lord." Those are the moments that I look for in the social work side of things, where I'm helping to serve now in the congregation, and doors are continuing to open through that to share more truth. I have no idea where it's all going, how it's all going to end, but I'm going to stand on truth. I'm going to trust God to use me. I want to challenge and encourage you, if you get nothing from these few words. There are people in your circle that you may not be able to convince to come here on a Shabbat morning. I hope everybody in your circle and in your family, that at some point you can bring them here. I hope so. Because the truth and the potency of it is life-changing if you embrace it that way. I will say, it's possible to sit here week in and week out and it just be good information, or it just be something to check off on your list. That is possible. But if you open your heart on a certain level, the truth that is taught here in your day-to-day circumstances, God will awaken a verse or a word or an insight at just the right moment. And to you, it's not going to feel sensational. You'll be doing you. And God will use it. So I guess what I want to say in sharing the little bit of my journey in your own circles, there are people that God wants to touch and awaken. If you found closed doors, just look at the approach. Father, what am I doing? What can I do? What about the approach might be missing? I'm not suggesting that you compromise truth. Don't compromise truth. But there are approaches that can be changed, because everybody wants what you have. What God has revealed to you, the world wants it. They don't know that they want it. And in spite of the uncertainty, the political uncertainty, the societal confusion and uncertainty, the reality that Barna, which does research for Christian groups and organizations, just recently put out another report. And in that report, it says that of all of the atheists in America, that the adults, that all of the atheists, it's double that number of teens. Let that soak in, because maybe I didn't say that real well. Of all of the adults in America that are atheists, it's double that amount of teenagers in the United States that say that they're atheists. How do you go forward? How do you proceed? How do we impact the world? I think there's more persecution coming for people of faith. It's more than just using Hebrew terms like a magic wand. It's more than understanding the insights of truth that are unchangeable and have not changed. But as those truths are activated, in the text, when Yeshua spoke those words, Ashalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. And then it said he breathed on them. I've often wondered, I'm closing, I've often wondered, how Yeshua breathed on them. How was that different than the other times? They'd been in rooms before. They'd slept together before. They'd been on boats before. What was different about that? I appreciate during the prayer time how we were told about touching the hem of Yeshua's garment. You touch it, there's life there. And so, two things. I want you to pray for me as I walk out, not perfectly. I find that God even uses my mistakes. If I'm willing to acknowledge, hey guys, I messed up here, God takes that and makes it look like, wow, that was good, David. He'll do the same for you, because he wants the world to know. Look for him this week and in the coming weeks. Look for those "that is the Lord" moments. If what you find and have found and find are the walls and the doors, nobody wants to hear it, no one really wants to know, change the approach. Ask the Lord to help you change the approach. And in your areas, you may not be a youth mentor, you may not be a counselor, you may not be a pastor, none of that matters. You may be a carpenter, you may be a janitor, you may be a ditch digger, you may be a lawn maintenance person, you might be a chef. In your areas, stay-at-home mom, retire, it doesn't matter. You may have an illness. I remember a sister, I encouraged her. She had debilitating rheumatoid arthritis. Couldn't get around, could hardly do anything, and was lamenting that. And I said, oh, I think, did you know that there are arthritis support groups where people like you all get together? And I wonder how many people in that support group know what it's like to have the life of Christ flowing through you in the midst of that circumstance. You could reach them in ways that I can't. Oh, there are all kinds of groups and gatherings and retired, this and that, that you may have a calling to reach. And I want you to hear those words echo through time, those words of Messiah. As the Father hath sent me. Yes, he was sending the 12. But all of us are sent in our circles and areas of influence. So hear those words echo through time. And in 2018, in the midst of polarizing political issues and confusion, as the Father hath sent me, he's also sent you. Pray for me. Shalom.
Hey, David.
Thank you, Rob. I don't even have the words. It was critical for me. It was most important for me in my journey. And my journey started 14 years ago. As you all can see, I'm not here every Shabbat, not nearly as much as I'd like to. But it was critical for me that there is a formal acknowledgement. It wasn't as critical that it's public here, but it was critical for me that the elders would recognize me, my ministry, and my calling as a part of the ministry here, and that I am covered by the prayers, by the counsel, by the advice, the instruction as a sounding board. That was critical for me. I did not think, Grant and I are friends, and I've come to know Rob well, and Dan, Remark and I are friends, but I did not know what the advantage would be for the elders to agree to that. I didn't know what the advantage would be because I push the envelope. I live on the boundaries of what God might do, which means you could fail big. I can't help it, though. So I needed the covering, the spiritual covering, the prayer, the insight, the verse that I gave there. I presented to the elders when I met them here, and as they were considering and praying about these things. It's when, do you remember when, I think it was the centurion who came to Messiah and asked that his daughter be made whole, and the centurion, I believe it was, told Yeshua, he said, you don't have to come under, you don't have to come, just speak the word and my child will be made whole. Because, the centurion said, because I am a man under authority. And he said, I say to this one, go, and he goes, this one, come, and he comes. And he said, so Yeshua, you just speak the word, and I know it'll happen. He understood authority, spiritual authority. I understand spiritual authority. And I wanted to be under the spiritual authority. I think I've been already. But I wanted to be sure those men knew that I'm their responsibility. And if things go really bad. So now we have all these witnesses. You should have just left it in the back room, Rob. So it was critical for me that they would do it. And again, I don't know what the upside is for Beth Tikkun. I have often told Grant, in the book of Acts, you see there was the Jerusalem brethren, and those were the ones who were who were raised. And they were Jewish people, and they knew Torah, and they were Jewish believers in Messiah. And there was the Jerusalem brethren. Then there was the Antioch church. And those heathen Gentiles were always mixing up things that they shouldn't mix up. And so I've often joked with Grant over the years and said, listen, I'm your Antioch version. So you want to keep me like off to the side because I can't help it. But I need to be a part. So that's the short.
Well, you know, David says in Acts that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, so that's not a bad place to be from. You know, when God put me in this position while I was kicking and screaming, I don't know how to do this. I'm a shop teacher for 30 years. I'm just a retired shop teacher. I can butcher wood and mash metal, but leading people, I don't know the first thing about it. And in fact, several years ago, some of you have heard me tell the story. We did this marriage class. We had a lot of couples meeting together, and we went through this book, you know, and talked about marriage and so on. And we all did this kind of a personality test, and it measures your strengths. Well, I did pretty well in most areas, but when it came to leadership and people skills, it was a zero. So I want you to know who you've got in leadership here. I have no leadership skills. I don't even like being here with you folks. But so I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, feed the sheep, protect the sheep. It was so clear. I thought, I can do those two things. If he'd give me a third thing to do, I probably wouldn't have done it. But I can feed the sheep, protect the sheep. But outreach is something I just don't know how to do. I admire people who can reach people and go into communities. And David, that's what you do so well. That is what you do. You're so gifted, and God has given you that aptitude and ability, and he's empowered you by his Spirit to do that. So I see this as a great, great relationship that we have, a partnership. So I can feed the sheep, but you are so gifted at finding the lost ones and just inviting them in into the fold. And God bless you in that, because I have no aptitude in that. I'm not very good at it. So thank you so much. Well, I'm going to invite Tim to come and lead us in the Baraka. And we're just going to close in prayer, and then Tim will lead us in the blessing. Our Father and King, we thank you so much for our friend and brother, David Hargrave, for his wife, Krista, for his children, his family, and all you've done through him so far. We just pray that in the days ahead, you continue to bless and prosper him and make his ministry fruitful. May many, many souls come to know you as their God, that they come to know Yeshua as their Messiah and King and Savior. And we just ask that in these last days you make it so. We thank you for the privilege of living for you at this time. We praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Tim?